Next, you need to look at the calendar where we are going to have a meeting. That will be a closed meeting, honourable members and commissioners, so that we deal with all these things once and for all. And commissioners must tell us whether they are willing to serve the institution or they don't want to serve the institution, because I think it's too much. That's how I want to close this matter. And then let's move to the next item, honourable members.
It's the presentation chaired by the Audit and Risk Committee of the CGE on second and third quarterly report, Chair. Thank you.
Over to you, Chairperson.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Whip. Honourable members, a very good morning to you. I think I came in when there was a discussion about the apology, Chair. And I want to say that I do accept the rejection by the members and also indicate that I was deployed in the Eastern Cape. And I worked there yesterday, Chair, and due to the bad weather conditions, I could not come back, Chair, and I was scheduled to come back today then. But I think I will make alternative arrangements. I will be in this meeting throughout, Chairperson. So without further ado, Chair, I want to say that in accordance with the Commission for Gender Equality Act number 39 of 1996, the Commission for Gender Equality shall account to the Parliament and the Portfolio Committee on timeous basis, on regular basis. And in accordance with this Act, we will also report to the President at least once a year. And Chair, in accordance with the Public Finance Management Act, number 1 of 1996, the Commission is supposed to account on financial management to Parliament, which is what we will be doing, Chair, this morning. So the Commission is delighted to be invited this morning to present quite substantively on our quarterly reports, both the organizational narrative as well as financial report for quarter 2 and for quarter 3. And the audit chairperson who has joined us this morning will also present on the audit report for quarter 3. So, and thereafter, Chair, we would be gladly willing to take questions, and we will be willing to provide clear comments and direction in terms of comments that are forwarded to us. So that will be the meeting this morning, Chair. And I note the fact that the report and the letter that was submitted regarding Commissioner Dehi as requested has been sent back, and it will actually be tabled in a special plenary meeting with all commissioners. Thank you, Chair. I would like to hand over to Ms. Refilwe Matenje, who is the Audit Committee Chairperson, who will table the Audit Committee report, Chairperson, this morning, and then will be followed by the CEO's report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Over to you, Chairperson, Ms. Refilwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honourable members. So today I'm just going to be tabling the audit and risk report for the second as well as the third quarter. I will be sharing my screen. Okay. Can you see the screen?
Yes, we can see the screen.
All right. Thank you, members. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as I said in my introduction, this is a presentation that says to inform the committee on the outcomes of the Audit and Risk Committee for the second as well as the third quarter. We'll be looking at the following outcomes: internal audit activities, finance, predetermined objectives, as well as risk management. Now, the Ordinary and Risk Committee met on the 19th of October 2021, and we considered the reports from management relating to internal audit reports, financial reports, performance reports, risk management compliance, as well as the AG findings. Where internal reports are concerned, we looked at legal case management as well as the audit of performance information for the first quarter. These are some of the key findings that we found. So the Commission has developed the complaints handling manual, which gives guidance on how case received by the Commission should be dealt with. Now, some of the significant findings around this manual is that the complaints rejected the complaints were rejected and were referred, but not closed according to the manual. There was a closeout report not submitted to the AJOD of legal for resolved complaints, and there was no assessment form in the file. Acceptance or rejection letter was not also sent to the complainant. So as a committee, we highlighted the risk of non-compliance to complaint handling manual to the Commission, as well as the risk that it poses where reputation is concerned. Chairperson, we also looked at the audit of performance information, which is something that we do every quarter, and these were the findings. So we found that performance information and financial reporting is not integrated. And as much as it is integrated during the planning phase, however, when it comes to reporting of actual, we have a challenge that the institution CGE does not really present this performance information in line with the budget that it was budgeted for, which poses a myriad of problems, because this is something that is recommended by National Treasury according to a framework. And then where there is non-achievement, in some instances, there were no reasons that certain targets were not
achieved. Your presentation is not properly placed. Maybe there's some way you need to tweak so that it must look bigger. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, right, much.
Right. All right. Thank you. Chairperson, there's also overachievement of planned targets. So there are some targets that are not achieved and some that are overachieved. So we have advised the institution that they must just be careful with overachievement of the planned targets and just focus on meeting the targets. Chairperson, there were some targets that were not necessarily specific.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Rafile?
We just mean if they say, for example, they need to go to the police stations maybe 10 times in that quarter, and they go 15 times in that quarter, but then there's certain targets where they had said maybe we need to submit certain reports, and those reports are not submitted, Chairperson, then we just need to be able to balance the targets to ensure that you don't overcompensate on certain targets, but at the expense of certain targets not being met, Chairperson.
So in terms of value, whether those visits that they do, there's evidence that maybe what compelled them to do those visits 15 times. Especially because they're saying if they don't write reports, there are no reports, you know. So is it they visit police stations to tick the box, or it is because there is a serious matter that they are attending to?
Chairperson, I think in that regard, with the specifics, management would be in a better position to respond. However, I understand what you're saying, and I think that's the point that we're trying to bring across to say, even if you do exceed, then there needs to be valid reasons and it needs to be documented. I think the whole point, the premise of this, that it needs to be clearly articulated and documented in a report. If there is a valid reason that there is an overachievement and there's an underachievement there, it also helps when they report in a cumulative basis. So this is something the CGE has not been doing when they do the quarterly report, and it's something that we have advised them to do, Chairperson, that when there is a cumulative reporting, then it's easier for us to see certain targets, whether they're overachieving, underachieving, and clear reasons why. So if there is an overachievement in certain targets, maybe it will catch up towards the end of the year that you are reaching the main targets for throughout the year. However, if you're reporting on a quarterly basis and you don't show us what the cumulative effect is and the effect on the other targets, then that becomes a bit problematic, Chairperson.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. And then in some instances, Chairperson, the target is not specific. So according to the framework on certain targets, the targets need to follow the model of being SMART, which is they must be specific, they must be measurable, and so forth. So we find that certain targets are just very vague in their articulation. And then the target as well as the actual performance is not aligned. And that is what we were referring to as well when we say when they set the target, it has a clear budget on it. But then when they're reporting, it doesn't show of that budget how much was spent on that target, which is quite worrisome. And then a performance information policy is not reviewed. And this is something that's been ongoing. I think you'll see it as well when I talk about the third quarter, that there is a framework as well that was updated by the monitoring and planning department. And ever since that has been issued, this framework, the performance information policy of the CGE has not been updated, Chairperson, to meet with these requirements. So we did highlight these two to the commission, and they have they have committed to rectifying these findings, Chair.
Then if I may ask Refile.
Yes, Chairperson.
For instance, in quarter one, if maybe they did not meet the targets, their targets were underachieved, were not achieved. How do they carry those targets to quarter two and quarter three? And in terms of accounting purposes, how do they report on them? Do they still consider those targets in quarter two and quarter three, or what do they do?
So Chairperson, I think it catches up once we do the annual reporting. So that's the only time we are able to see how they're faring given the annual targets. So even if they do not report, give us an update on what happened to those other quarters that were not met. However, at the end of the year, they're not able to do that. So we have to look at the annual target and then they match it against that target. However, what would help is if we do it on a quarterly basis, to make sure that we are tracking that progress on a quarterly basis and not just get to year end and find that on a cumulative basis, it's either we are under or over performing. However, Chairperson, I'll give you comfort by saying that in as much as this has not been done, it hasn't really had that much of a negative effect on the institution as a whole, because they do tend to catch up with their targets. However, for the benefit of better reporting and better oversight and better management, we still highly recommend that on a quarterly basis, we track how we're doing at any given time, Chairperson. Chairperson, may I continue?
You may continue.
Okay, thank you. Chairperson, and honorable members, we looked at the second quarter financial report, and in the first half of the year, the total expenditure was 36.9 million from the budget of 45.6 million, representing a negative spending of 19%. So our concern with the underspending is that come year and we will have a surplus that we may be at a risk of losing to National Treasury. Chairperson, you will be aware that in the previous financial period, we did have a surplus of about 6 million and we did apply to keep these funds. However, our application was in fact rejected. However, what happens subsequently is that in the coming financial period, we do have a baseline that has increased by that 6 million, interestingly. So if we had to look at it at a technical level, technically the request was rejected. However, the increase in baseline then kind of makes up for that loss that we had. However, it still remains a risk, even in the third quarter, you will see. And then the vacancy rate as well. One of the biggest underspending, the biggest causes of the underspending, Chairperson, is the high vacancy rate. The rate of filling vacancies in the commission is quite slow, and this is affecting service delivery as well as the spending in the commission, as well as the risk that I just articulated relating to National Treasury. And then this is where we articulate the funds being surrendered back, the risk of the funds being surrendered back. Chairperson, the performance reports from management highlighted an achievement of 84% versus a planned target of 79% by the second quarter, which we welcomed as the Audit and Risk Committee. However, highlighting all the challenges that we have discussed where the audit of performance information is concerned, Chairperson. And then with the risk management, we still do not have an external risk management chairperson who resigned in the third quarter of the last financial year, and the position is still yet to be filled. I tend to be corrected in present day, Chairperson, but the last I heard, to my knowledge, that a risk management chairperson had still not been appointed. In as much as there was no chairperson, the risk management committee managed to review its charter, and they hope to fill the vacant post as soon as possible, Chairperson. I think what we just need to highlight here, Chairperson, is that this is a very important function of the entity risk management, and I think we just need to ensure that we capacitate this institution as far as possible, as risk management is part of the PFMA requirements, say that an institution needs to be to have an effective and efficient risk management function. So Chairperson, here this is another area that we are concerned about, that it just needs to be capacitated. Chairperson, we also in the second quarter we were not provided with the compliance reports, as management was still putting together proper structures that will enable them to produce these reports. However, Chairperson, when I go through the third quarter reporting, you will see that we did indeed receive a compliance report, and we made one or two recommendations in that regard. Chairperson, we also looked at AG's findings to ensure that management is addressing these findings and rectifying them. The committee reviewed the plans developed by management to deal with the findings. We do get a quarterly progress report. You will see that later on, we are happy to some degree, actually, that management is taking the AG's findings seriously, and they are resolving the issues that were found. The one thing that we were not satisfied with is the slow pace at which internal audit findings are being resolved. So what we've seen as a trend is that AG findings are being addressed at a faster rate than internal audit findings, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm now going into the quarterly reports from the third quarter. So the one I just finished is the one from the second quarter, and you will see that some of the findings will be repeating themselves, Chairperson. So it's also structured in the same manner: internal audit report, financial report, performance report, risk management, as well as the compliance report, Chairperson. And then the internal audit reports, we looked at the AG report again, the follow-up internal audit report, as well as the audit of performance information. Chairperson, like I said earlier, if you look at the manner in which these findings are being addressed, they are 63% complete for the AG findings. And then you'll see that the ones where there is no progress, it's 23%. But then if you look at the internal audit ones, you'll see that there are 21% complete, Chairperson, and partially complete is 42%, where there's no progress is 37%. This is where I was mentioning that we are concerned that there's a very slow implementation pace regarding internal audit findings versus the findings of the AGSA, which is also very concerning because the internal audit findings are meant to preempt AG findings so that by the time the AG gets there, then we have resolved a lot of the issues internally. So when the internal audit findings are not addressed at a faster pace, at a satisfactory pace, that's also worrying, Chairperson. Then we also had the audit performance information of the second quarter. As I mentioned, that you will see the same issues coming through: performance information and financial reporting not integrated, performance targets not reported on, targets not specific enough, targets and actual performance not aligned, and performance information policy not reviewed. It's literally, Chairperson, a repeat finding from the previous quarter relating to the performance information.
And when you ask them why they're not attending to that, what are they saying? What is the response?
Chairperson, some of the responses we're receiving is along the lines of the vacancy rate. So we are told that they're finding it difficult to resolve some of these issues because they do not have the right skills within the organization, and they're busy with the appointments. So that is the one that is glaring and is highlighted, Chairperson, as being the reason why some of these findings keep repeating themselves. Chairperson, you would know that there is an acting CFO at the moment. Of all the HODs, there's only one permanent HOD. So Chairperson, that is the reason that we get when we ask the question.
What are the reasons of not filling the vacant positions, especially the critical ones? Because I don't get it. I want to get a sense on what are the concrete reasons that are making them not to fill those critical positions. Because why would they have a CFO position being vacant for such a long time.
Chairperson, in the last discussion, what we were told is that it's ongoing, and that before the end of the financial year, they would have made the appointment. It's not really clear to us because this is something that we have also been asking management. However, we did receive communication from the CEO as a committee, which is something that we haven't really, it's going to be in the next agenda item of our Audit and Risk Committee, seeking for assistance with regards to certain policies that I believe that there's misunderstandings or some miscommunications between plenary as well as the secretariat relating to appointment policies. So, Chairperson, this is something that we are looking into, and that might be the reason. However, we have been told that this is getting resolved, and that there were adverts that came out, and indeed I did see the adverts come out. So my belief is that this is a system that's on, this is a process that's ongoing, and it should be concluded soon. So I think the CEO is in a better position at this moment, present day, today, to respond as to how far they are with the appointments, Chairperson.
Is that, could that be one of the reasons that I heard that some of the part-time commissioners were not paid?
Chairperson, I think that's a... Chairperson, I think that's a separate issue. The part-time commissioner's payment, I think, relates to the submission of timesheets. So my understanding is that, or rather, let me just backtrack a bit to the finding that we made last year in January that we presented to plenary as a finding to say that part-time commissioners, their payments appears to be irregular because they got paid based on the maximum 100 hours as per the commissioner's handbook, instead of being paid as per the handbook that says they need to submit a timesheet. Not in those words, but it alludes to say that they need to be paid based on the process followed by the institution according to their policy, which is submission of a timesheet. So, Chairperson, I think this has been an ongoing issue in that regard. So I think that's a separate issue to the appointment, but it certainly does have an effect probably on the pace in which the appointments are being made, because this is a point of contention between the secretariat as well as the part-time commissioners, specifically Chairperson.
No, it's fine. They'll have to update us on this one. What I wanted to be clear on is they were not paid because there is no CFO, there's an acting CFO. And then now I understand that it's not the AG's finding. It was your internal audit, and not the AG's one. Eh?
No, Chairperson, that can I clarify on that matter? So what we as internal audit Chairperson found is that there is a discrepancy between the payment that was made as well as policy, which is something that we have to report on, right? And then we go to management and get a response as to why is the a deviation chairperson from the commissioner's handbook, as well as the company policy, which is a normal audit procedure, chairperson. And so when we got a response, management alerted us that they did not have an adequate reason that this was deviated for, and therefore they submit that it will be an irregular expenditure. Because, chairperson, if we are going to deviate in terms of remuneration, it's clearly articulated in the legislation, in the CGE Act, that once this is done, permission needs to be sought from Parliament, chairperson. And so when we did request that permission from Parliament, it was we could not get any written documentation. And therefore, as a result, as internal audit, we had to submit it as a finding. So, chairperson, when the AG came through and they are doing their own audit, they would have followed similar processes to internal audit. And so they also confirmed it to be a finding. And one of the processes, as I said earlier, is to request from management to explain their findings so that it can be removed if it's found that there are merits to the finding, there are merits to why that transaction happened. And therefore, according to the AG, they also concluded that they could not find sufficient appropriate evidence that will remove this finding. And therefore, the PFMA says that if it is found that it's an irregular expenditure, it has to be disclosed. And not only must it be disclosed, chairperson, it also needs to be investigated so that we can determine whether it's coming from negligence or it's coming from just an error or whatever it is. And then it can be taken to National Treasury for application for condonement, chairperson. And so this is something that we have advised the commission to do, because this was disclosed as an irregular expenditure in the financial statement, and therefore we have to complete the process that is issued by the National Treasury on the irregular expenditure framework, which is the one that makes this recommendation that it needs to be investigated. So, chairperson, it's not necessarily that the internal audit found this finding to be irregular. It was found to be inconsistent with policies and procedures, which is something that we have to report on. And the AG also confirms this. And then the secretariat then disclosed it as an irregular expenditure. And because it's been disclosed as such, that is the next step according to the National Treasury Regulations, chairperson.
What I don't understand is that during COVID, the commissioner sat and took a decision that part-time commissioners will be paid for 100 hours. And they came to the Portfolio Committee chair, and they reported, and as the Portfolio Committee, I think we supported what the report that they presented to us. But I think there were other recommendations that we made on that day, that because it was during COVID, and I'm not sure for now. But I think honorable members can remember. That's why I find it very strange that this was found as an audit query when they themselves, they took a decision and came to Parliament and presented. And if they were supposed to furnish you with some information and they failed to give you maybe a convincing or reasonable information so that you can be able to work on it according to the information that they are giving to you. But I'm sure these are some of the things that maybe we need to pack and discuss them in the meeting that you're going to have with them. because it's like you move on a family. And you ask yourself, if a part-time commissioners were not paid for how many months? How many months, Chair? Refile? They were not paid for
Chairperson, just to respond to that question, I'm not privy on how many months they haven't been paid, because what we have looked at as a committee is up to the 31st of December. However, my understanding is that they haven't been paid from January. I stand to be corrected.
Can I come in, Chairperson?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson. The Chairperson of the Audit Committee is correct to say that there was an arrangement up until December 2021, and then there was also a recommendation to ratify the decision that was taken by the plenary and move forward from the 1st of January with the submission of the timesheets. Chairperson, I think based on the fact that the timesheets were not received in January, so the payment for January was not done, and this was however rectified now in February. So part-time commissioners have been paid for the month of January and for February moving forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Okay, you can continue, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. So we also considered the financial report for the third quarter. In this 9-month period, 55.2 million Chairperson was incurred, representing a 19% underspending as well, which amounts to 13.8 million, where the cumulative budget was 68.5 million. So we also welcomed the performance by the Commission, which achieved 95% of planned targets versus 84% that was achieved in the second quarter. Chairperson, where the compliance report and incident report is concerned, it was indeed tabled. As you may remember that I said in the second quarter, we did not receive the compliance report. However, in the third quarter, we did indeed get a detailed compliance report. Though we recommended as a committee that the Commission should rather have the compliance report coming from the Risk Management Office instead of the CFO's office, because there's quite a number of items that are reported relating to PFMA, and it becomes a conflict of interest if it's coming from the CFO's office. And then the governance structure and commissioners handbook review. In this meeting, we were updated that there was a service provider that's been appointed for the above mentioned reviews, Chairperson. So we are confident that in the next coming quarter, we will get some feedback on the results of this governance structure, as well as the commissioner's handbook review, which is something that we have been struggling as an institution to finalize. So we're quite excited about that. So Chairperson and honorable members, I've come to the end of my presentation, and I'm happy to take some more questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mr. Rakolote, my apologies. I'm informed by the staff that your hand was up. Can you come in?
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members and colleagues from the CGE. I'm happy, Chairperson, that the committee has resolved that you will call in a closed meeting for us. In that meeting, Chairperson, will present to you that the part-time commissioners have appealed the audit finding that the payment of the part-time commissioners during COVID was irregular. We have submitted the appeal papers to relevant authorities, including the Chairperson of the audit. And one of the fallacious responses that we get from some of these people that we cited as a respondent is that they view the presentation of our resolution to Parliament Portfolio Committee as not a presentation to Parliament. They view Parliament Portfolio Committee as not part of Parliament. But we'll present that at the right time in a closed meeting, Chairperson. But what I wanted members to know is that we have appealed the decision of finding the payment to be irregular. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Akolote. What I wanted to ask the chair is that of the risk committee, did she made you aware of the risk regarding that before she made her finding? Chair, I want to know from you, did you make the commissioners aware of the risk before you make that finding?
Chairperson, so this appeal, I must say, in this regard, timelines are very important because in my view, the appeal that they submitted should have been submitted before the AG report came out, because at that time it was apparent that this will be disclosed as an irregular expenditure. And now, as it stands, because this was already disclosed in the annual report as an irregular, then the framework from National Treasury on how to deal with irregular expenditure kicks in at this point, Chairperson. And this is something that I have notified the part-time commissioners who have submitted a notice of appeal to myself, to the CAE of the institution, to the chairperson, as well as to the secretariat or the organization at large. So, chairperson, at this point, my hands are tied, unfortunately, and it's something that I have clearly articulated and communicated in my response, that I do not have, the Audit and Risk Committee does not have the authority to remove the finding as irregular or to change it in any shape or form, because this has already been disclosed in the annual report that was audited by the AG. As it stands right now, Chairperson, the only option that we have is to follow the guideline of the irregular expenditure framework that is issued by the National Treasury. And once they get into that investigation, then they will collect all the data.
Apologies,
Chair.
Okay. Sorry, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. And so once this investigation, and maybe the word investigation is the one that is alarming people, it's just literally, Chairperson, a follow-up on the events of this item and how it got to be disclosed as an irregular expenditure by the entity, and also confirmed by AG to be irregular. So, Chairperson, with regards to the response from myself as the Chairperson of Audit and Risk, as well as the Chief Audit Executive, as the first and second responded in the notice of appeal that was received from the part-time commissioners. I think we were very clear in that regard. And we submitted our opinion of what we think on the matter. However, in our conclusion, we did clearly state that the matter of a removal or keeping the irregular both of us have the authority to do anything at this point except follow the guideline of that it has been issued by National Treasury, Chairperson.
Okay, no, we'll pack it for that closed meeting so that we can deal with it thoroughly. It's just that it's what I heard You know, when people, ordinary people are talking about these things, you ask yourself, what is this now? That's why I'm raising it. We'll pack it so that we get a full report on it. And the decisions of the plenary will be presented in that meeting. And what is the way, and also what is the way forward from the commissioners. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can I get hands? Chair, you can remove your document on the screen. Yeah. Can I get hands from honourable members? Honourable members, here's a presentation from the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee. Can I get hands? Clarity seeking question.
Chair, can I reserve my questions for after the department has, sorry, the CGA has presented, because most of the questions will be directed to them.
Okay. Masondo, was your hand up?
Yes, Chair, but Honorable Masigo has just covered me.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to say that, yes.
Oh, okay. Maybe let's go straight to, I don't see any hands. Let's go to the department, CGE.
Morning, Honourable Chair. Morning, Honourable Members. Morning, my Commissioners and colleagues. The Chair had said in the introduction that I could come in with the reports. On the screen is the second quarter report, and I just want to double check if Honourable Members can see the report on the screen.
Yeah, we can see it, CEO.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I am presenting now the quarter two report. The first three items in the presentation, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, are your introductory slides where we give the background on the CGE, and then we get into our contributions to transformation instruments, and end with the APP targets. Just to highlight here, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that the presentation is cut at the APP targets. However, the full report that has been submitted extends to the narrative reports that supports some of the briefs. Reports in the tables of the APP targets. The introduction, Honourable Chair and Members, is just saying who we are as the CGE, and also our strategic focus in terms of our vision, mission, and values. Also our outcomes, which are also repeated in the tables as we present now the outputs or the performance information as detailed in the table. This slide, Honourable Chair, indicates the common themes across... Yes, ma'am.
I think the slides you are showing from the APP, I think honorable members, they know about them.
Yes.
Maybe let's go straight to your report in terms of your performance. Yeah.
Yes, thanks, Chair.
I guess, but I think we have also noted the questions that we have asked the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee in relation to why is the position of the CFO not filled?
I have noted, Honorable Chair. Did Honorable Chair want to speak to that?
Yes, because it impacts to service delivery.
The post of the CFO was advertised in April with the post of the HODPER, Public Education and Information. We managed to appoint the CFO who was supposed to start on the 1st of December, and I think we had already reported because there would have been CFO had accepted the offer, negotiated the salary because he was taking a salary cut and accepted. But the day before he started, on the 30th of November last year, he indicated that he would no longer be able to take the post. Not in so many words, but it became apparent that he got a better offer. So at that stage, the commission had decided that we cannot extend another short contract to the former CFO. Therefore, in December, we asked the agency that's assisting us to recruit to give us CVs. We shortlisted, interviewed, and appointed the interim CFO who is joining us here today. In December, as we were doing this, we re-advertised with the whole batch that was of vacant posts. So all the posts have been advertised. We have received applications, and we're taking them in batches to appoint. So the CFO applications we have received right now, but we prioritized appointing the HR manager who starts today, so that she can be able to, you know, to offload some of the work that has been causing us to work slowly in terms of recruitment, Honorable Chair.
And I think it was also the other one was the legal person.
Honorable Chair, the legal head of department became vacant in December 2020. That's when I started at the CGE, and we advertised then on the instruction of plenary. That was the HOD legal and the manager communications. We didn't get suitable CVs from advertising. In January, we started headhunting for the HOD. We appointed the communications manager, and the HOD legal, we started headhunting. We are now sitting with the CVs from that headhunting, but this is one of the posts, the legal and PEI, where we're having bear with me because I'll call it a controversy. Since the PEI was advertised in April, the HOD headhunting in January, but a decision was made by the institution that this post needs to be re-advertised. And as management, looking at the requirements of the PFMA, we feel that aborting this process midway without completing it will cause us to incur wasteful expenditure. So we haven't appointed in these posts. We're sitting with applications, CVs for these posts because of that controversial kind of way of understanding how this process should unfold. To give an example, with the CFO, we went all the way and appointed, we were turned down. Therefore, we could re-advertise because we can account that there was no wasteful expenditure. We took the process to conclusion. But with the HODPEI and legal, we haven't concluded the process. And if we re-advertise, we will incur wasteful expenditure. Thank you, Chair.
So,
Chairperson, if I may.
Yes, let me finish, Honorable Masiko.
Okay.
I'm gonna, and you'll come after me. So the chairperson was deployed in the Eastern Cape by yourself? Because I'm trying to think that the chair was deployed in the Eastern Cape, but Commissioner Day and Klobatla are deployed today. So that's why I'm asking about all these vacancies now. That maybe it could be the cause that the chair was deployed in the Eastern Cape.
Honorable Chair, I think, and the Chair can correct me if I'm misrepresenting, but my understanding is that it was a request. I see the Chair's hand is up. Honorable Chair, if I perhaps may be allowed to hand over.
Yes, thank you, CEO Chairperson. The first deployments that were made, Commissioner Day and Commissioner Ntuli-Tobata were deployed in the Eastern Cape. And then because we do the deployments every 2 years, and then last year, Chair, we removed Commissioner Ntuli-Tobata from the deployment in the Eastern Cape, and there were also some health reasons why we thought we should remove Commissioner Ntuli-Tobata from the Eastern Cape, and she got deployed in Mpumalanga province where she comes from, and this was also a discussion in the portfolio committee the year before last that commissioners must remain in provinces where they are. So Commissioner Day, Commissioner Ntuli-Tobata was deployed in Mpumalanga province where she comes from, and she backed up KwaZulu-Natal province. Then Commissioner Day was then deployed with Commissioner Border in the Eastern Cape province, Chair. So with Commissioner Border being on suspension, the chairperson is now backing up the Eastern Cape province chair and is also leading the Limpopo province, because Commissioner Border was in Limpopo. Employment chair is not done by the CEO, it's done by the chair at the chairperson's office. So I am leading in the Limpopo province chair, and I'm backing up in Eastern Cape chair. The reason for the traveling to the Eastern Cape chairperson was that the Eastern Cape, with our partner key stakeholder, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, were hosting a symposium that was celebrating 25 years of constitutional democracy. So the chairperson of the commission and the backup commissioner was invited to come and give a keynote address. And this event was in East London, chairperson. So that's the deployment according to the recent developments, Chair. And I'm actually, backing up on the place of Commissioner Boda. Thanks, Chair.
Commissioner, before Masiko, I want to give Commissioner Mogale as the head of a subcommittee for legal. You know, why am I asking all these questions? It's because you have a backlog of cases. And even when we look at your targets, you did not meet your targets. Commissioner Mukhan?
Chair, can you repeat the question? I was just distracting somebody here who was making a noise.
We were asking about the post. Why is the full post for legal not filled till to date?
Chair, thanks for the question. Chair, it is unclear why it has not been. The HOD of legal submitted her resignation on the 1st of November 2020. So on the 30th of October 2021, it was a year full that it has not been filled. And in that time, we have on several occasions placated, asked, pleaded, and even instructed through plenary resolutions the CEO to expedite and advertise. To date, it has not been done. I, for one, do not understand why it has not been done. It's more than a year later that it was advertised and still not been, what you call it, filled. So I think maybe Chair of the CGE and the CEO can help there.
Because it's clear. The reasons that you are giving to us are not genuine. It's clear that this post, who called Montenegrin, and if we can investigate as the portfolio committee, we'll find the truth. Commissioner Klobata.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity to speak. Chair, I just wanted to correct something. Very quickly. The Chairperson of the Commission is using me as a scapegoat when it comes to the issue of the Eastern Cape. Let me state in front of the honorable members and commissioners that there was no way where I was sick at CGE or I needed help because I was fragile. The only thing that I disclosed to the Chairperson in confidence was that I will be undergoing chemotherapy from October 2021 to February 17th, 2022. I was just alerting her so that she must know on the days where I'm taking chemo, I might not attend certain things. And surprisingly, Chair, even on the days of the chemo, there are portfolio committee meetings that I attended and participated. There are plenary meetings that were done virtually where I attended. And all the meetings, CGE, Mpumalanga, all the police station visits, both in KZN and Mpumalanga, I did them diligently. There's no way where I can say I couldn't do 1, 2, 3 because of chemotherapy. I was forever available to do my job, and when deployed, I would do my job. And it's said that we are a human rights organization. My private matter is now on YouTube. This is really not on Chairperson, and this is not correct. Privacy, confidentiality are matters that need to be respected. And if a person tells you as a team leader something in confidence and something as sensitive as this one, you don't use that as a scapegoat. I was raised in the fact that you tell the truth no matter what and deal with the consequences. The Chairperson of the Commission was not supposed to say health. It's news to me, Chairperson Tamara, that I have health problems that are making me not to do my job. All I know is that I was on chemotherapy, and that is not for public consumption. It's a private matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Klobata. Honorable Masiko?
Sure. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Mine was just a minor question of clarity on the process in relation to the HR appointment of the CFO. I just need clarity, Chairperson, in terms of should the appointed individual or candidate decline the position, is there no second person? Because in some HR processes and in appointing for positions, you do have a case where you say should the first candidate not accept the position, then the second runner-up will then be lifted or elevated as the first, and they be given or offered the position. I'm just checking, Chairperson, because we are hearing as well that there is an external agency that runs and there are costs incurred in the process. What happens to the second and the third runner-ups for the interviews or during the interviews or appointment process? Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson and CEO. By the way, who's the head of human resource amongst the commissioners?
Commissioner Apollo, the chairperson.
Can you also come in?
Yeah, I'll come in.
After the chair and the CEO. Chairperson and CEO? CEO?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We did approach the second candidate, and also there were very key reasons that we couldn't appoint the second candidate, including affordability. And basically that is why we had to re-advertise, because the first two we couldn't appoint. So that is basically what it was. Honourable members.
Chairperson?
Chairperson, I want to withdraw the statement about Commissioner's health situation. And I want to leave the fact that we had to follow the fact that Commissioner would remain in Mpumalanga province and lead in that province and would back up in KwaZulu-Natal province, Chair. Thanks. And Commissioner Botha was then deployed in the Eastern Cape to back up Commissioner Day. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Akolote.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. In terms of the recruitment policy, as to the question from Honorable Masik. The advice the policy allows for a second candidate to be recommended, but that decision should come from the interviewing panel. In this case, the interview panel, I think from our side as commissioners, the interview panel, Commissioner O'Hara was part of the interviewing panel for the CFO, if I'm not wrong, and Commissioner Masibuko. So apparently there was a second candidate, but based on the reasons for now, I think the CEO did not want to divulge because of confidentiality, they did not recommend to us to appoint the second candidate. But it's an acceptable practice to look at the second candidate. We did that on various occasions, and also on this one, we were supposed to do it, but there were some reasons why we did not look at the second candidate. Thank you so much.
Does those reasons are reasons that can made you to be taken for litigation or what? Because we are a portfolio committee that needs to know the exact reasons. We are in Parliament, you're accounting commissioners. So when you give us reasons for you not considering the second and the third candidate, it must be reasons that maybe you are afraid that will lead you to litigation. But for now, I'm trying to get the reasons. You know, when you shortlist those people, were they meeting the requirements? Ma'am O'Hara?
I'm trying to raise my hand. Can you hear me?
Yes, Ma'am O'Hara.
Yes, yes. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Yes, indeed, we had two very good candidates for the position of the CFO, one and two. And number three, the third person in the panel in assessing the third person felt that he was good, but he would still need to be developed in terms of leadership as a CFO. And we actually said that maybe he could be considered for financial management, because that position was also vacant. Now, when Mr. Matab, the preferred candidate declined having accepted and he declined, was no longer available. Then we considered the second candidate. But the second candidate, his salary was way too high and not affordable in terms of what the CGE was offering. You know, Chairperson, the position of CFO is actually at a very high level, Chief Director to DDG in the public service, whereas within the CGE, it is at level 13. So we could not match the salary of the second preferred candidate, which is why we had to go back to the drawing board and re-advertise, Chairperson. That's where we are. And in terms of the third person, she wouldn't have been suitable for the senior strategic position of the PFM, of a chief financial officer. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Imam O'Hara, for being open and transparent regarding this matter. But the question again is, why? Where in this? Where are you going to get a CFO that will be earning like a director? Honestly speaking,
Chairperson, that is the challenge that we are facing as the CTE, and I think we actually were having a discussion within the HRRC committee. Commissioner Chairperson, HRRC Rakolote can assist me there, where we actually were saying that our salary levels don't help us to attract and retain the high level skill that we require as the CTE. And I think we actually at some point started even a process of engaging with the DPSA on job evaluation with the purpose of repositioning. But maybe, Chairperson, let me not go into that because this may be a discussion for another time. But just to say that our remuneration does not really allow us to attract high level skills in that way, because especially CFO, because it is a level 14 and level 15 in the public service.
What about other chapter 9 institutions? The salary levels are the same as yours or what?
I am not sure, Chairperson, because there would be the bigger chapter 9s, but then there are the other small ones like the but there may also be differences, Chairperson.
Can we allow you as the portfolio committee to deal with this matter, Imam O'Hara, of the salary levels, take it as a priority when you go out of this meeting today so that you are able to attract the rightful skills for that position? Because, you know, if you are living with that position at a lower level like that, you are not going to get a suitable candidate.
Yes.
It's a matter of emergency and priority. You should have done it long time ago. It didn't need you to come to the portfolio committee and we ask all these questions so that for you to take action. No. It's a matter, Kantituma plenaries, what are you discussing most of the time? Why are you not taking serious the issue of vacant positions as critical in your institution? Because that impacts to service delivery. I think in that meeting that you are going to have, the closed meeting, you must come up with a report, a tangible report on how have you resolved and how far have you went, whether it's National Treasury or DBSA, whether we have gone to them and discussed. But this is a matter that you must take very seriously and come back in that meeting and report on what are we going to do. There is no way that you're going to get a person at that level, especially for a CFO. That's how I close that matter on behalf of the Portfolio Committee. CEO, continue if there's no hand from other members.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The slide I'm projecting is the summary of the achievements for quarter two. And as indicated, out of the 38 quarterly targets, 32 were achieved and 6 were not achieved, with 1 partially achieved. Perhaps to just, okay. With me, Honorable Chair, the next slide is a comparison, as it has already been reported by the Chair Audit Committee, that in January we had quite a few challenges around some of the targets that were intended to happen physically that couldn't be achieved. But we did catch up on this during the second quarter, some of them, and also going into the third quarter, as honorable members and chair will see, we managed to catch up on this. One of the targets that we didn't achieve, and it started very slowly during the year, also in quarter one, we had 1 unachieved target in the 4 submission, and in quarter two, we had 2 unachieved targets, which in the corrective action, we do indicate how far behind we are and how we are trying to catch up in this regard. And in quarter four mainly, there has been a lot of catch up on this particular target. And when we report for quarter four, we may be able to report full achievement, as in some quarters things are difficult, and in others we are able to achieve these targets. The second output, honorable members, had to do with the engagements, the report that we would submit on the engagements with stakeholders such as Parliament. And we are generally invited by the portfolio committees to engage, to report on different reports that we have produced. And for the second quarter, the meeting was postponed. So we did again a catch up exercise on this particular target that wasn't met. The high level meetings, we managed to conduct 1 in the second quarter, where the Department of Basic Education was engaged before a webinar, basically looking at our previous interactions with them, so that in the webinar we talk about how far they have gone, you know, in terms of the recommendations that we had provided to the department. The consultative meetings, again in the second quarter, this way we're reporting that they were not done physically, but we managed to solicit progress reports on the entities that we were supposed to follow up on. We managed to solicit progress reports, and the physical meetings, as we will see in the second quarter, the hearings happened in November last year. The high level meetings, in terms of again stakeholders follow up on findings and recommendations, and we had the Department of Community Safety, we had engagement with them where we were presenting and discussing the report on the SAPS hearings that ensued in 2018-19, as the Department of Community Safety has been inviting us to make input in some of their policies. And this was one of the engagements that we conducted with them. Also, in terms of monitoring and engagement with national government, we have also met with the minister. Again, this was following up on previous work done with the Department of Trade and Industry. But here we had engagements with the deputy minister to inform a webinar that was going to be conducted. So these are like your preliminary high-level consultation to inform what is discussed in a webinar, and they had made a presentation with participants checking on what had been achieved in terms of the recommendations of the CGE. The webinars, Honorable Chair, we overachieved because this was happening in Women's Month. And I know when we were having internal discussions, we thought things like this are lessons in terms of how we plan going forward. Because now, instead of saying one per quarter, maybe we need to concentrate this in during Women's Month or strategize differently. But what we report in terms of the variance is just to indicate that demand was there. As you can see, we conducted the webinars on women's economic empowerment, sexual and reproductive health rights, widowhood and COIDA. And these were webinars that were initiated by commissioners following what was happening in the country at that time and the demand to have discussions with our stakeholders in this regard. The implementation of the report on the consolidated report on education information programs, which is in our second outcome. These materials are printed continuously. So as public education officers go out, they bring back feedback and then they update, especially because now they are online, it's easy to update them. But we do have some that are printed. In this quarter, we were in the process of printing the COSA gender terminology booklet, which the printing was finalized in the next quarter, as we will indicate when we get to them. The training workshops on gender and development, we as I had indicated earlier, we did some catch up in this quarter. So these overachievement, of course, for the quarter, we will report it as such for the quarter, but it also a catch up from the sessions that we couldn't achieve in the first quarter, where we had to cancel some of the sessions that were supposed to happen due to the COVID levels that were at that stage. The advocacy and outreach campaigns, again, these honorable members are also in the narrative report. So we will see how the advocacy and outreach has been conducted during the quarter, including the use of community radio stations for these campaigns. Excuse me. Another high-level meeting that we had planned for was conducted with the Northwest Department of Basic Education and House of Traditional Leaders by Commissioners. So these are some of the reports that are narrated. And perhaps to indicate here, Honorable Chair and members, that as we take recommendations from the audit committee, some of these where we say we will have a meeting and a report, and we submit a report as part of the narration below the tables. We have been advised that these reports must be isolated, so to speak, so that it's clear to cross-reference to them, which is one of the recommendations that we have incorporated in our current APP that we are busy finalizing. In terms of the social media campaigns and podcasts, we list there some of the activities that have happened in terms of the campaigns. So these were your online, your social media, Twitter, you know, all those kind of things, how we reach out through these platforms that we have access to currently, mainly for free, although apparently we need to look at how we use this effectively by buying certain things that will help us to have control of what goes out there, what we want to share, what we, you know, all those kind of things. But people, our team in this area are putting down plans to say how to best reach people out there through social media, but in a way that is strategic and specific for the organization, instead of just being out there like everyone else. In terms of outreach, again, here there was a catch-up, and what we report as advised by internal audit is that when we report over achievement, for instance, from their perspective, it looks like we spent money that we didn't plan for. And we had to indicate that sometimes we, you know, our stakeholders would request these activities to happen, and they would incur costs in those situations. So there wouldn't be money that was not planned for these targets that are spent. Sometimes it's us as the CGE initiating extra activities because to catch up with the previous quarter. So the situations vary what informs when we underachieve and when we overachieve. In terms of the conducting, engaging our like-minded stakeholders, each province does this every quarter. And they provide reports, and as of now, we still have those reports in the narration as part of this this project. In terms of our third outcome, the reports on complaints handling, the report again is also included as a narration for now, bearing in mind that going forward, these reports in the new APP will be separated because it will be planned as such. The in terms of court monitoring, we didn't achieve this, Honorable Chair, and suffice to say, when this became a challenge in the second quarter, we sat with commissioners and began to strategize and identify the challenges, and then came up with a new strategy or a new approach where we sent a court monitoring tool to across the country to heads of regional heads of sexual offences courts, so that when we follow up, when commissioners follow up, and as staff we support them provincially, we are able to compile tools that they have completed. And at this stage, we hadn't managed to do that. But in the third quarter, as our report, we have begun to receive responses. And as we go into the fourth quarter, we do believe at this stage that if things go the way they have begun to go, we will be able to achieve that target by the end of the year, cumulatively, so to speak. But this again is another area where we plan to change the way we approach the work for maximum response, at least from our stakeholders. in terms of our monitoring of GBV programs in the country, again, at this stage during quarter two, this was, as we had reported on request last year, we were still at data collecting stage. So that is pretty much what we're reporting there, that field work was happening in quarter two in terms of data collection. In terms, similarly, we, in terms of the implementations of the IRAP, recommendations of the IRAP, Honorable Chair and members will remember that we did submit an interim report mid-year where we had followed up with this. But as a matter of the APP target, due to a response to the launch of the report last year, we put it as a follow-up. But as reported previously, we have come to a conclusion that this is just part of following up on programs on that are seeking to address gender-based violence and femicide, because you come across a situation where IRAP is said to be done with as a project, which is true, but the contents thereof are still even more relevant. Therefore, we continue to monitor as per the previous report where I talked about the NSP and so forth. And those reports are drafted in quarter three and in quarter four. Now they are being finalized for tabling and publication following internal oversight consultation before we table and publish. The report on municipal election, similarly, in quarter two, it was preparatory work, but this eventually happened. The draft report has been now being prepared for internal processes and then tabling and publication. In terms of the Tutuzela care centers, in the second quarter, honorable members, I know that there were a few visits that were cancelled again because of positive cases in those institutions that we were supposed to visit. From quarter one, the more than the targets were able to be achieved. And when we go to quarter three, we will see that by quarter three, the targets for the three quarters has actually been exceeded slightly when I added the numbers from quarter one. But in quarter two, we didn't achieve this target very well. We only managed to follow up on 16 police stations. The issue of the monitoring of the GRB framework, again, this is a report that will be released this year in the second quarter. Generally, for all these research reports, the second quarter is usually part of the first quarter into the second quarter is usually data collection period, while the third quarter is now putting the reports together with data analysis and so forth. Same applies with the procurement allocations report. It's a research project that has taken place this year, again, same as previously. What we put here in the narration actually is just some of the common challenges that we usually come across when we do our research and investigations in terms of access to information. Unfortunately, the kind of work that we do is sometimes not the kind of work, the questions that people would like to respond to. But nevertheless, as the committee would see, we try and get as much information as we can so that we can inform oversight committees on what is happening in the country. The fourth objective, which is inward looking, The first two outputs, Honorable Chair and members, we had targeted them for the fourth quarter. So the first three quarters is like preliminary work, like administrative work, like your terms of reference, tools and so forth. And as the Chair had indicated earlier, the way is the work is advanced with service providers, and we believe we'll be able to report on this when we report in the next quarter, in quarter four. In terms of the status of audit, this I think maybe one is just thinking maybe this should be a once-off report because we get this during the year, and in the new APP we have changed it so that we report on the effectiveness of our internal controls because that is what will help us improve on the status of our audit outcomes rather than wait for the audit outcome to report. So much as we say these are the results, there is a better way to measure this, a way that will help us work rather than wait for the audit results. In terms of implementing the business model implementation plan, this plan, we had the plan which the first activity in that plan was to for the institution to have sessions to actually have a common understanding in terms of how we unfold this process in the institution. And this was postponed as an activity that needed to be physical, together with other activities that needed to be physical in the institution. So, but this eventually happened this quarter, although we were envisaging for it to happen in the third quarter, though the work actually started in quarter one. So there have been quite a few glitches, so to speak, but we have started, and this process is aiming at addressing some of the issues that have been pointed out by the committee and our commissioners around the improving the salary scales. And this can be done, but you need to assess, you know, you need to have some kind of a formal job evaluation to be able to say we're moving this job from here to there. So this process is actually aimed as an ultimate goal, not only to improve internal business processes, but also to raise the bar for the CGE to be at least what we like to call the employer of choice, be compatible with the market and other institutions. Honorable Chair and members will remember in the first quarter when we reported some of the challenges that we have around the ICT and so forth, and we didn't achieve targets. Similarly, in quarter two, we began to see some unblockages, so to speak, because in quarter one, five and six were stuck. But we in quarter two, we began to see some blockages owing to some internal processes that we embarked on just to encourage colleagues to try and perform their duties as required, without getting into detail with that. But we perhaps just to give the committee a quick feedback that we have managed to source a capacity for this unit, and we interviewed and we will appoint, we are at vetting stage to appoint a resource that will come in and really overhaul the ICT unit. So, but there is some movement, unsatisfactory, but we are trying to resolve these issues because they are detrimental to the institution, and they are historical. They've been happening for too long. Hence, we want to try and begin to address issues of ICT The MNE framework, Honorable, will submit a quarterly report. This report basically charts a way forward towards planning, so that when we get to planning, we are able to relate that to how we want to monitor and evaluate our work. And suffice to indicate that this happened in our strategic planning, where the service provider did have our monitoring and evaluation framework, and they used it to guide. Hence, our APP, our upcoming APP is really different. Colleagues were saying they don't recognize it, which is a good thing, and they appreciated that, because it was showing us that we're beginning to refocus in the way that we plan. And we're trying to also respond to internal and external audit findings. As the audit chair has reported, a lot of misalignments, a lot of difficulties in reporting, because our measures are not what planners would call smart, specific, measurable, and so forth. So that's what we are pushing towards in this regard. The tracking tool is also another internal monitoring tool to monitor our research and investigation reports. We still have some polishing up to do here, and we've been in conversation with our leading commissioners in this area, with our legal people, that we need to brush up so that we use this tool a bit more effectively. As we have seen, currently we have seen the gaps in terms of how we could do things better with the tool. The performance information policy, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the Audit Committee Chair has reported that we're having challenges in this area, as it was a finding previously. And I know that in the first quarter this year, it was one of the policies that we had listed for review, but without capacity at HR, some of this work got stuck. But it's one of the things that we are now, as I indicated, the HR manager starts today, and these are some of the things that we want to try and expedite, and where we need our oversight committees to help us expedite, because we still need to follow the policy on policy development process despite the time constraints. So we will be communicating to our oversight committees to help us where we can to fix some of these outputs that have been left behind. In terms of partnerships, I think when I reported in the first quarter, I also indicated that in terms of planning, having a partnership a quarter was not a good move. It's a lesson that we need to move this, because we don't want to have partnerships just to tick a box. We need to have partnerships that are strategic in terms of furthering our mandate. And to say we will have one every quarter, maybe in hindsight, we realize that this is not doable if we want quality partnerships. So although we did have proposals with the EGTP CETA, which we have finalized in the third quarter, so at this stage, that's what we have. And I won't present the future, but we have a major overhaul around this area following our strategic planning with commissioners in January. The report on the implementation of the communication strategy is one that is attached with these tables in the long report. Here we just summarizing some of the activities that took place. The media monitoring report as well, we also are summarizing some of the key highlights in terms of reach. And these numbers have caused a lot of people to ask questions, how can you reach such high numbers? But media, as they explain, they have a way of calculating reach. Hence, we are able to reach these numbers per quarter through our media initiatives. In terms of the HR plan, in quarter one we were reporting about how we were in a difficult situation where we didn't have HR personnel, we were appointing the agency. We also report that 8 policies were adopted this year, but there will be an update as we go into quarter three in terms of the recruitment process, as we have briefly alluded to as we were discussing earlier. This is the end of the presentation for quarter two, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my Commissioners. Thank you.
CEO, you presented both reports, ma'am.
I presented quarter two, Honorable Chair. Shall I go straight to quarter three?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will skip the introductory slides as advised, including these programs for the transformation instruments. Just to come quickly to, or let me just make it. Big. In terms of the summary, again, Honorable Chair, there was some improvement in terms of achieving the targets. And I want to emphasize, perhaps to say, taking note of the concerns of the audit committee in this regard. And this is for us, it's an opportune time because we get this feedback at the time of planning. So we will be able to correct this, which was difficult to correct mid-year as we were busy trying to catch up with targets. And we felt that changing the APP at this stage will cause a lot of confusion, not only for us, but also for structures that we report to. So now we are able to say we will be able to factor this in, and our APP now, as we develop it, we're trying to develop it from an audit perspective so that we minimize those findings that we have been picked up this year and last year. So in terms of the achievements, again, two targets were partially achieved, 2 were unachieved, 1 partially achieved. And when we compare again the 3 quarters so far, that is what has been happening. And I will again perhaps indicate that in quarter one, as we were reporting, a lot of physical either outreach programs that were planned and so forth, even electronic ones sometimes were cancelled due to different positive cases in different situations. We caught up with some of those in quarter two, and again we caught up with some of the unachieved targets in quarter two, in quarter three, and we are right now really pushing hard that we catch up for the year, because eventually we want to be able to achieve all the quarters, but bearing in mind that we don't want a tick box kind of achievement. We take into consideration feedback in terms of quality. So when we are audited, we should be able to back up how we caught up with these targets and provide evidence that it wasn't a tick box kind of catching up. Starting with our first output for our first outcome, we made one submission in quarter three. Within the quarter, all those things picked up when we entered into the fourth quarter. But when you look at the cumulative variance from the first quarter, we were six behind, and by the fourth quarter we were required to cover 10. And we have the numbers now that shows that we are catching up, but obviously we will report properly the correct information when we report for quarter four. In terms of the report, usually when we have made full submissions, we would have a report that consolidates, but we didn't achieve this because with the one submission, you don't want to consolidate a one-liner. So we felt that this wouldn't be a quality output, therefore we reported it as a non-achievement until we are able to put a full consolidated report that provides a quality information, so to speak. The high-level meetings, again, we conducted this with the committee, where we presented on the SADC protocol during this the previous quarter. The analysis of information from consultative meetings, as indicated, the transformation hearings were conducted with these TVET colleges in November, and obviously the information was analyzed in quarter three, and currently the reports are being finalized for tabling as per practice to Parliament and the portfolio committees and the relevant departments that would have been involved in these hearings. Honorable Chair, sorry, I just have to fix my screen. There's something this blocking the text. Okay. The high-level meetings with institutions on the findings and recommendations. Again, we report the presentations that we made to portfolio committees, the Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labour, where we presented those reports in terms of the recommendations that we have made to institutions. And I know some of these were followed up by written reports where they wanted to know other things that were not included in the report, but we had presented everything, including the progress reports, and the committees, or the committee obviously noted how to take this work forward in as far as their involvement is concerned. Here we're talking about the monitoring reports on the engagements with national government institutions. Against the issues of procurement, as I indicated earlier, in quarter two, the issue of data collection, the reports are being finalized at this stage. In terms of the webinar for the quarter, we conducted one as it was planned on LGBTIQI plus equality project. In terms of the report on content development, again, continuing from the second quarter.
You know,
ma'am.
Maybe if you can explain to us about the webinars that you conducted. On what exactly are your desired outcomes or results, because we don't want a situation whereby you are calling webinars, but what we don't know what is the purpose of that webinar, and on whether at the end of the day you get desired results, and how then do you implement the results of those webinars. So if only you can also explain, so that we see whether you are ticking a box or the purpose of you having those webinars is achieved according to your planning and your targets and so on. But if you are calling webinars just for ukhambisa isikhathi, not spend the money, but you don't get the fruits of why have you spent money in those webinars, that's not assisting the citizens or even us as the portfolio committee as we do oversight.
Yeah.
We need measurable outcomes or results. I'm sure I've tried to clarify myself on what you have just presented here.
Yes, Honorable Chair. May I just perhaps provide information in that regard?
Yes, ma'am.
The webinars, I know that commissioners had some extensive discussions around the purpose of webinars. And if I can pick an example of a webinar that where we invited the Department of Trade and Industry, where we followed up on recommendations of previous work, previous research or investigations that were done that involved the department. Hence, in one of the high level meetings that I reported, we met with the deputy minister to discuss this. And when we invited the deputy minister to the webinar, she was presenting on what the department has done on these recommendations. And then you had questions following that. So these webinars for us serve as one of the mechanisms to follow up on our recommendations. Some of them are for topical issues. If you look at the COIDA webinar that we had, there were, during the Women's Month, there were topical issues around that warranted demand for discussions around COIDA. So the relevant people were called. I remember there were also organizations that represent domestic workers presenting their issues, and then the relevant departments responding, and then with us presenting what we have done in this area for the departments to respond, for civil society represented by this organization, for instance, saying what gaps still exist, for instance. So that in overall are some of the discussions that inform the webinars that we conduct. So there would be historical information that we want to follow up with. There would be current issues that are topical. The sexual and reproductive health and rights webinar, for instance, we had a big an issue with the report that had just come up, talking about 10-year-olds being pregnant, which was a big debate in the country. And again, the Department of Health came, the Department of Basic Education came to this webinar to report back to the audience, who is our community stakeholders and other stakeholders from government structures to discuss these issues. Honorable Chair? Honorable Chair? Am I still audible?
Continue, CEO.
Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Sorry for disturbing you. Is this people during the day who press our intercom so that they check whether there are people inside or not?
Okay. Honorable Chair, I was explaining the purpose of our webinars, and I hope I've given sufficient information. And should I continue with the presentation?
Yes, continue, CEO.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think I was still going to speak to the issue of the educational material, the first output in our second outcome, where last in the previous quarter I reported that we were in the process of printing, and now the material, mainly the gender terminology booklet, the printing was completed, and I was informed yesterday that even the posters were printed for distribution to provinces, so that commissioners are able to have posters when they visit police stations. So I perhaps shouldn't even be going there, because that's the report for the next quarter. The gender and development workshops were conducted, and again this short synopsis of the report are accompanied by a narration in the full report. And also the project plan for our media advocacy and outreach, we narrate a summary there of the activities and the reach that was achieved during this quarter. Again, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, to talk, I did say this in the first quarter, that the issue of having a plan in our plans, we have exhausted it, and we have made a commitment that we will have actual activities that we can measure rather than a plan, though the activities will not be at this level of the APP, but at the level of our implementation plans. So, but in terms of the actual work, this is the work that has been done, and the high level meeting in the Northern Cape was also done, and there is a report in that regard. In terms of the social media campaigns, again, we put there a summary of the social media activities that has happened. There is a report also that is narrating the reach, including international reach, in the full report. The gender mainstreaming interventions, they continue basically. It's one of those activities that have been in the CGE, I suppose I can say forever. But in this quarter, we engage people at different levels. And in this quarter, we managed to engage the Department of Education senior management around issues of gender mainstreaming. And Honorable Chair, I think suffice to also indicate that what one is presenting in this report is not too different from what we have presented in different reports when it comes to the difficulty around issues of gender mainstreaming in our entities as public institutions. So that especially when it comes to gender responsive budgeting. So that there's still a long road to be traveled in that regard, which involves issues of capacity, just not understanding why we need to do this. So that the issues of attitudes and beliefs, they become really, really a hindrance when it comes to gender mainstreaming. In terms of our outreach and advocacy programs, this again, they were achieved in this quarter. Also engagements with like-minded stakeholders, and bear with me as I keep saying, reminding the committee that the narration is included in the report. The complaints handling report is also for this quarter developed and submitted with the long report. The court monitoring, as I was saying in the previous quarter, talking about the court monitoring tool, what we have done, commissioners have, through the office of the chair, sent a court monitoring tool to regional heads across the country for sexual offences courts to report on the different variables that we want to know about the CGE, ranging from capacity building all the way to how services are rendered in these courts. So we started getting a slow response. That's what I was saying. It looks like if the momentum continues, we may find ourselves having more information in this regard, especially because we are also currently preparing a report, a qualitative report that will begin to tell us, so what, after monitoring these courts. So there should be recommendations, both the courts and the police stations, there should be findings and recommendations to say, this is what we found and this is what we think should happen as the CGE, as we provide information to our oversight committees and entities that we monitor. In terms of the compliance with systemic findings and recommendations of systemic investigations, this is one of those projects that the report, some of the reports are still being finalized by legal, but we do report that we monitor these projects. One of the key ones that we are continuing to monitor, as presented last week, is the shelter project and the forced sterilization project, where we are still engaging the implementing entities on these reports, and we're getting feedback, as some of it we've already presented, but some of it, the final reports for this year will be presented as we present for the fourth quarter. In terms of our reports on monitoring GBV programs, again, as reported in this quarter, the draft reports exist pending internal consultations with oversight committees, which will then be followed by tabling and publication of the reports, which are generally released in the fourth quarter. And in the third quarter, we have drafts that are still being cleaned up. The IRAP, again, is pretty much the same report that I have presented for the second quarter, where we had it in the APP, because at that time the issue was still burning. But then we realized mid-year that people don't identify with IRAP anymore, though we did follow up, and I know we submitted a report to the committee showing that out of the 22 departments, 8 responded. We did follow up again, and we made recommendations in terms of how to better take this work forward, one of which is obviously that we're no longer monitoring IRAP, but we're monitoring what was raised in IRAP, because that is still relevant. The report on the municipal elections, again, at this stage, it's still a draft that is still being worked on. And it is one similarly with the previous report. So basically with outcome three, we're dealing with really mainly research reports that in quarter three are drafts that are being finalized for further processes in quarter four. In terms of the police station and subs and TCC monitoring, as indicated, cumulatively to the third quarter, the targets have been met, because they were overachieved in the first quarter. and then underachieved in the second quarter, and then overachieved again. And just to explain perhaps the issue of overachieving and underachieving, because it's not a situation where, for instance, in one quarter you relax and then in the next quarter you start to run around. But situations as they are, when situations were difficult in quarter two, as the CGE, we made a deliberate attempt to work harder in the next quarter, because we know our visits were cancelled. Many of our visits in quarter two were cancelled. Therefore, we had to put more effort to be able to catch up, so to speak. So we have actually, I think we have exceeded the up to quarter three, and we have slightly exceeded the target in terms of cumulative assessment of this target. The next report is about the reports that I keep referring to that are now have been drafted and being finalized for further processes in quarter four. The high level meeting, the CGE presented the report on a follow-up hearing on gender transformation in tertiary education to the portfolio education on higher, to the portfolio committee on higher education. And this is the meeting that was postponed from quarter two. And if we were to report, when we report in quarter four, it will be demonstrated that more committees have invited the CGE to come and present, because I know even in quarter one, we struggled in this target. But in quarter four, we not only presented to our committee, our portfolio committee, this current portfolio committee, but various other committees have been calling the CGE to come and present. So we have managed to really do much more, especially because this sometimes depend on invitations by these high-level structures. So it looks like I was saying to colleagues, the portfolio committees are really, really paying attention to our reports, because much as we've reported to our own portfolio committee, this current portfolio committee, we have reported a lot to other committees. The procurement report, again, it's in draft, and also getting ready for publication following internal processes. Again, in this quarter, Honorable Members, Honorable Chair, as I reported in the previous quarter, these two targets were put in the fourth quarter as products. So in the fourth quarter, as it was explained earlier, we want to believe that we'll be able to produce these targets to the committee, so that we are on target with our APP. The third output is a similar kind of situation that I spoke to in the second quarter, to say, learning to really develop smart measures becomes critical, because our measures, as the audit committee chairperson was saying, some of them are vague, and when it comes to reporting, you're not sure what you're talking about. And in the next plan, we're not talking about unqualified audit, but instead we're talking about how our internal controls are being improved, our business processes, everything that would lead to an unqualified audit or a clean audit. We need to work on that first. So that's how we are targeting this. Again, the issue of the implementation plan for our business model, we eventually managed, as I had indicated, to hold the session, and we also have a plan forward to go develop those business processes and cost what we want to see in the CGE. So when we use the issue of posts for instance, where we our posts are. Obviously, when you go to motivate for funds, you need to have a plan that is costed. And that's what we're trying to get to with this process, to say with our business model, let's explore further and see, get formal job evaluations, put a price on them, justify that, so that we are able to motivate in an evidence-based point of view. The IKM plan, as I indicated, the blockages started to be released in quarter two, and now we know that we have a service provider who is beginning to look at this plan. But on top of that, we have a skilled resource, and this was a deliberate attempt aimed at addressing the current issues that we have, that will begin to push and improve our ICT department, not only in terms of its performance, because its performance sometimes depends on our utilization of the systems. So both sides are weak, and we want to try and overhaul this process as we move forward. And similarly with the ICT, as I said, we began to see some software being updated and things that the TV monitors that we were reported on previously. So a few things began to move, and you began to see things being happening. As I speak, I know that colleagues have been visiting provinces even before we told them that the portfolio committee is coming. After the previous presentations to the parliament, to the portfolio committee, colleagues began to move, if you like. In terms of the MNE plan, again, it's a similar kind of report that we're using this framework to inform our planning going forward. And one must say the next APP should be a real test for this, especially when we improve on our human capacity in terms of implementing these issues. So it should be a real test in terms of what we had reported quarterly over the years is actually happening as we implement the next APP. Again, similarly with the tool, we update it and submit to the oversight committee, but we have issues that says we must improve the way this tool is presented or it's populated. And yeah, there are some issues that we need to iron out in that regard. This, our output 9, as I had indicated in the second quarter, is one of those areas where we had challenges. Though the plans for this were in quarter one, we had challenges moving with this as our human resource department became pretty much empty. But as I had indicated, we have managers starting today, and we hope to catch up. And if we don't get there, we will report what happens. But we have plans to close all these gaps as soon as we have people in the right places. The partnership that I indicated in both quarter one and quarter two, we entered into one with the EDTP CETA, and currently we're trying to get staff to apply for bursaries that are funded by the ETDP CETA. But suffice to report to the committee that as an organization, and we were advised through our internal oversight processes, that as an institution, we need to have our own training and development budget. And we do, but with the way things are right now, it's one of those budgets that are not, it forms part of our under expenditure. because the work is not done in a strategic manner, so to speak. So these are some of the things that we're saying for us to be able to do this properly. Not maybe, we must. At the beginning of every year, we have a skills audit that should inform who we train on what for what reason, because we want to also do this for improving the performance of the team in the CGE. So partnerships with CETAS is one good thing, but we need to have a bigger vision around this output. The communication strategy, as indicated, it's just summarized here with the activities in terms of implementation listed in the reports, as well as the media monitoring report was produced as well. And this is the report where we are discussing with the team that when we report at the end of the year, this report is one of those that should have themes that says what I usually call the so what of these activities. So it's one of the things that we need to improve on. The last output, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, has to do with our the implementation of our HR plan, in which the biggest issue, as we know, is the issue of recruitment. So we did appoint, maybe just to give the current status. We know that we had quite a lot of resignations, mainly of legal officers, a researcher or two, but mainly it was the legal department where the legal officers really, really, really left the institution. Following that, we obviously had a situation where we didn't have any staff at HR, and then we appointed a recruitment agencies. They advertised last year, November, they submitted applications. So we have a whole batch of applications, and we're busy taking them bit by bit to bring people in, those that were advertised in October, November. And as reported, we have now a temporary CFO with the applications for CFO that we advertised in December due for shortlisting, which is the next priority as we were prioritizing the HR manager. So today we have the HR manager and the finance manager starting, we have the HOD research, and we have interviewed, and we are at the vetting stage. I did allude to the ICT resource that we have interviewed also at vetting stage. And I'm hoping now that we have an HR manager that the process will move faster, because it's been slow, because the few of us have been trying to do the recruitment while we were doing other work of the institution. So for me, that one HR manager and the support that we will give her will be able to fast check this. Legal officers, there are interviews taking place from tomorrow, I think, yeah, from tomorrow to Friday, because this is another area with the legal personnel. It's another area where we want admitted attorneys, but the money we offer is not aligned. And as the Honorable Chair says, this is an area where we want to pay immediate attention urgently, but obviously we will need to follow all the relevant procedures of doing proper job evaluations and pricing them so that we are able to be funded on that basis. So we have moved a bit, and we hope to move faster at this stage. But that's where we are in terms of the HR plan that we had for. And I shouldn't say for this quarter, because some of these things were catching up from the previous quarters where we couldn't do certain things since the resignation of the HR manager at that stage. This is the end of the third quarter report, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO. You can remove your document in the screen.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, CEO. Where I did not hear you responding to some of the questions that we raised with the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee, members can still ask those questions. Can I get 10 honorable members? We're done. I don't see hands. If I don't see your hands, honorable members, it means we're done. Honorable Mpiti, Honorable Carol, Honorable Kangwini, sometimes I don't see your hands here.
Okay, my hand is up, Masiko.
Honorable Masiko, Honorable Songo. Masondo, Pavungobo, in that order. Mamsonti, in that order, honorable members.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Chair, I'm not going to ask many questions because most of my questions will be reserved for the closed meeting. But just a few things on my side that I think are something that I would really like to know from CGE. I think in the past couple of months, we've seen a huge resurgence of human trafficking in the country, an increase in terms of kidnappings that have happened in the country, particularly, you know, with young women and girls. And so I just want to know, is there any work that the CGE is doing in regards to human trafficking? Is there any information that, you know, that they can give us around that issue? Because I think it's an issue that is really becoming something that we need to have a handle on, together with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. We have to be able to look at what is being done around human trafficking in this country. You know, we've noticed a huge increase in terms of, you know, children being kidnapped, either due to the businesses that their parents own. And so just outside, even outside of international human trafficking, just kidnappings as a whole in the country have really been out of control. And so I think that is an area that needs to be looked at. And if there's any work that has been done to the CGE, I'd really be interested to understand that. Secondly, I think, you know, we obviously are aware that there are some provinces that have, in terms of the report that we've seen, have not picked up cases of gender-based violence. And so I think it's something that I would really like to understand, that why in certain provinces there has not been any cases or matters of gender-based violence that have been picked up by the CGE. What is the reason for that? And I think that's very closely linked to the issue around, you know, case management and closing of files, which is something that I've raised previously before. What mitigating factors are really being put in place to ensure that case management and the updating of cases in terms of the CGEs being taken care of, because I think that in turn can really give us an explanation of why certain cases are not being picked up in different provinces. I'm also interested in any type of working relationship that CGE has with the Department of Police. I don't know if there can be some light that can be shed around that particular issue. And then I think it's fundamentally important that we, you know, in terms of the HR issues, this is the last point here. It's fundamentally important that these vacancies in CGE are filled as a matter of urgency, because it does impede the work that the CGE is supposed to be doing on the ground. And so I think those issues need to be fast-tracked, and they need to be prioritized as a matter of urgency, because I think we're really finding ourselves in a place where there are issues that are being hamstrung. And I wonder if that particular issue of vacancies in the CGE has any relation to do with the number of cases in provinces that are being picked up in relation to gender-based violence, and whether or not the amount of work that is being done in these provinces is being impeded by the fact that there's quite a number of vacancies and critical vacancies within the province. I think it's also very important to maybe understand, you know, in terms of provinces, exactly what is the capacity of CGE in terms of being able to do that service delivery work that they are supposed to do within their provinces. I think that's fundamentally important to understand. And the last point, Chair, is I don't know if maybe the chairperson can speak briefly on the outcomes of the strategy session that the team has had, and you know, the positives that can be taken away, just in terms of you know, the culture within the CGE, and what is the update on that? You know, is the teamwork happening? You know, just if we can just maybe have an idea on that particular issue. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti. Maybe the chair must give us a report in that closed meeting. Regarding the team building, eh? Honorable Mpiti? Honorable Mpiti?
Yes, Chair, that's perfectly fine. The closed meeting is
okay. All right. Honorable Carol?
Thank you, Chair. And let me say, good afternoon to yourself, colleagues, and the CGE, and everybody in the platform. I don't have much, but I just want to have a bite on one issue, and not forgetting that we've just entered the month of human rights, Chair. Mine will be on the CGE. Remember, we have an issue that is a forced sterilization for women who are HIV positive. So I wanted to check with the CGE, as we are entering this month, what is their program, and therefore, did they receive any report from the Minister of Health, and what is their program going forward for this month? The other issue, Chair, that I want to raise, or just to put forward to the CGE, is that, you know, Honorable Kitty has touched on it. Most of the report, when we receive, we expect to be told that the budget is too low or we don't have money. But in all their quarter 2 and 3 in their report, there's understanding. Nevertheless, they've explained on the basis of the human resource, and they've just touched that there are those who are starting not soon, if not today. But I want to urge the CGE that let's always make it a point that we spend what is given to us, unlike to be seen like we don't have a use or we don't have any need to have that particular budget. But I believe, and according to their report, they've got many challenges that also need for us to advocate for more budget on them. Lastly, Chair, on the issue of gender-based violence, as I believe it's part of having your own human rights, we need to be protected. I am very much interested in their programs for this month in particular, in making sure, conscientizing even communities and our citizens about our rights. Let me trust the Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Phiri. Honorable Ngobo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my first question will be on Commissioner Botha, and I just would like to know what are the implications of the work that Commissioner Botha was supposed to undertake given his precautionary suspension, and can the CGE provide a progress report or update on the precautionary suspension of Commissioner Botha? Then my second question will be on the high-level meetings that the CGE has had. And I just want to know what was the outcome of the high-level meeting with the Department of Health and Basic Education on sexual reproductive and health rights. And then lastly, Chairperson, on the men and boys program, I just want to know what was the outcome of the collaboration with UKZN. And what has the CGE done to take forward the fatherhood project in the current financial year? Thank you.
Can we also deal with the issue of Commissioner Botha in that closed meeting?
Okay, that's fine, Chairperson.
Honorable Masiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings once again. I think we must welcome the presentation from CGE. The first question, Chair, is just by way of follow-up, because some of the questions that one wanted to ask have been covered. I know that we have spoken, Chairperson, at length with regards to the filling of senior management positions, especially the one relating to the CFO as well as legal. And I'm comfortable, Chairperson, with the fact that that you raised. In fact, I want to support the idea of relooking some of the salary levels, especially for high earning positions, because if we need, Chairperson, to ensure that we're able to attract the best in the market. And it means that in order for us to attract the best, we need to ensure that the salary level is competitive enough for us to get the best in terms of the CEO, CFO position. So I'm supporting, Chairperson, your proposal at the beginning that CGE must actually go out and relook. And in fact, it also speaks to the issue of the structure itself and come back and report to us on that. In quarter one, Chairperson, we had a report that recommendations by the portfolio committee that said that the commission should consider expanding legal clinics and making these even more accessible to women. So now I think we must, Chairperson, get a report back on what has been done in terms of the expansion of the legal clinics, because to us it speaks to issues of accessibility to women, especially those women in the rural areas where they are finding problems and therefore cannot access the services of CGE through the legal clinic. So one would like to know what progress has been made by CGE in implementing one of the resolutions that we had made as a portfolio committee in level one. in quarter one. We also, Chairperson, spoke about the issue of commissioners and the issue of the issue the conflict within the institution itself. Now, I would like to place it as a concern, Chairperson, that I have picked up through the interactions that we've had that some of the commissioners, for instance, the issue on the health. I would like to park it, Chairperson, for the meeting, close meeting that we would like to have. But just note it as a concern that it is something that is really continuing, and for us to ensure that the institution is working optimally, Chairperson, I would really beg that we find a harmonious working relations between the commissioners themselves and the leadership of the commission. I'm packing that for the meeting that we will be having, but I had noted it as an issue. In terms of the achievements that are noted, Chairperson, one of them is relating to the monitoring, the implementation of the Maputo Protocol Country Report, as well as the one step forward, one step backward assessing government's responses and interventions to combat gender-based violence and femicide in South Africa, as well as the illegal initiation schools in South Africa assessing risk to boys and young men. So those are the achievements that have been noted by CGE as reports that have been published. Now, as much as we've received some of the reports that I've noted, Chairperson, have not come before the portfolio committee. Now, the question is, have all these reports that I've noted been tabled in Parliament for the committee to consider? If not, why not? Because they've not been brought before us as a portfolio committee. Covered is the question of the high-level meetings, which was noted by Honourable Ngobo. I think what is important here, Chairperson, is that whilst there is it's been noted as an achievement that these high-level meetings have been held, and it's really important that they are, the emphasis, Chairperson, should be placed on the outcomes and the way forward. I think for us that is the most important, because it's one thing to hold these high-level meetings, but it's another to check whether the holding of these high-level meetings is having a greater impact, and what is the way forward and the outcomes of these meetings that are held. We are hearing that they've held meetings, high-level meetings with the Housing Community Safety Portfolio Committee Chairperson, the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry and Economic Development, as well as the Northwest Department of Basic Education and the Northwest House of Traditional Leaders. Yes, these meetings are important, but at least, Chairperson, we must be getting an update in relation to the outcomes of those meetings, as well as what the way forward is, and whether going back on with regards to the resolutions that have been taken in those meetings have been met or not. With regards to the illegal traditional initiation schools, Chairperson, one would like to hear what in terms of the work that has been done in relation to that, because there's nothing that has been mentioned in quarter two. What progress has been made? Because we know that in December the number continues to rise. We are going towards the June holidays now. We will be having another session of the initiation school. What is happening in relation to that? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masigo. Mam Sonti.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon to the members, also to the CGE. Chairperson, my question will be short. To CGE, what is the status quo of the NSP on GBV and femicide? Was there any budget allocated to its implementation? Number two, what practical interventions has CGE conducted as at municipality level? Which municipalities are those? In terms of advocacy and lobbying, has the CGE taken robust steps in engaging the criminal justice system, that is the courts, prosecutors, the investigators, and the police, in terms of analyzing the applicable laws and how GBV and femicide cases are handled by the courts? The purpose is to address the gaps that enable and lead the perpetrators to undermine the rule of the law. Finally, Chairperson, and the last, in terms of research, has CGE taken a comparative study as to how they have addressed the issue of GBV and femicide? Which country is that? I can give you the power, as I said before, to decide and lead us to do something about those commissioners who don't want to do the work for the societies, because they are getting money, they are paid, but they don't want to work for the society. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mam Sonti. Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. I have just few questions that I have because I'm covered with others. What progress has been made by the CGE in implementing the recommendations that outlined in the PRRR of 2021? What, if any, have the challenges been? What are the outstanding investigations and what are the current investigations? Provide a list of these. What are the proposed new time frames for the implementation of the outstanding items on the audit action plan? What is the CGE doing to address the significant findings as outlined by the ARC? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. Honorable Sheriff.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just have a couple of questions and comments. The first one is we know that the CGE since quarter one, around April 2021, have been doing oversights to SAP centers, to Zela care centers. And that was, you know, something that we dealt with in the committee, and the importance of doing oversights on these entities. I just want to find out, when can we expect the report on the findings to SAPS and TCC and TCCs? Chair, the reason this is so important is because I find it difficult to accept that it will almost be a year. We now in March, next month will be a year that this investigation, that this study has been happening. And unfortunately, we live in a country where it can't take that long to give a report back to Parliament on what some of the challenges that are being faced by victims and survivors at SAPS and where TCCs can improve with resources and capacity. Chairperson, I think it's obvious that when you do oversight visits, and the DA has done many oversight visits to SAPS and TCCs, We know what the issues are. We see it on the ground. We go there. We speak to the officials, and we see what the issues are. So, I mean, you can do that in a couple of months. And I'm trying to navigate and understand why it takes so long for such an important report to come back to Parliament. This is not just a report that, you know, will be filed or something like the ERAP that comes way after the fact. We don't have time to be delaying findings and reports, because something needs to happen. There has to be mitigating factors and recourse that SAPS or TCCs have to implement in order to change the environment of violence that women face in this country. Chair, when you look at the stats released by SAPS and the high amounts of sexual assaults, I mean, we're looking at something like 32,000 sexual assaults reported in just 9 months. That is not okay. That is not ideal. That is not something that, you know, we need to just report as a statistic and leave it at that. CGE has to play a much deeper and bigger role in keeping women safe and holding departments and government properly and efficiently, effectively to account for not delivering or implementing legislation, policies and services that need to happen. Chairperson, when I look at those stats, you know, I get angry and I get emotional about it because women are suffering in this country. And here we have the CGE taking almost a year to put together a report and present their findings so that something can happen, so that their findings and their investigation can actually make a difference in women's lives. And in order to do that, something needs to happen to change the way, you know, things are happening in SAPS and PCCs, for example. So I just wanted to note that maybe as a recommendation that these reports need to be quicker, they need to be prioritized, and they need to happen in a good timeless manner, so that, you know, as a portfolio committee, we can then do recommendations to see how we can fix where the system is broken. This is important. Secondly, Chair, as a committee, we've asked the CGE for the commission handbook on a number of occasions. We still haven't received it. We were told they were still finalizing it. It was in draft format or something like that. Can we please get feedback and an update on this and when we can actually, you know, engage on it? I want to also speak about the webinars. You know, for me, and I always say, especially to the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, webinars can be very exclusive in terms of people who have access to, you know, be part of these webinars. And oftentimes we lose a lot of voices and a lot of ideas and a lot of experiences because we focus so much on webinars. I think, you know, since we are level one and COVID cases are, you know, looking okay, I think perhaps, you know, the CGE need to think about going back into communities and speaking to communities and speaking to women face-to-face directly, because I'm not very convinced at the effectiveness of webinars. Chair, I just wanted to raise and ask the CGE if they are aware of the issues around Census 2022 with the exclusion of the LGBTIQA+ community. This is a huge issue that I picked up through my oversight and interaction with groupings and networks and communities. And the fact that Census 2022 look specifically, you know, when individuals are entering the information, whether they're male or female, they don't take into, you know, into account that gender is fluid. And, you know, we speak about the LGBT community and everybody speaks about it when they do speeches and everybody, you know, speaks about them and almost as if, you know, I'm saying the LGBT, which means I'm representing them. But then when it comes to, you know, real, doing it for real, we have census that's being exclusionary. And for me, that's absolutely unacceptable. And I would like the CGE to look at it and intervene and perhaps come back with something in good time to let us know what's happening. Chair, last but not least, you know, I was speaking to a colleague of mine from social development, and we were speaking about the transition of young people, but specifically looking at women from the places of safety within the system. So looking at orphanages where we have young people, young women, when they turn 18 years old, they then have to leave the system so that they can, you know, because, you know, that's when the age limit cuts off. And so I wanted to find out from CGE, what is their role in monitoring and evaluating the transition between leaving the system and moving out, and, you know, looking at halfway houses, looking at, you know, specific places that might, you know, upskill these young women in order to get them ready for the world and you know, to be economically active. Because if they just leave the system and then they go into shelters, there's no real transition to help them become the best, you know, the best versions of themselves and help them upskill to become economically independent and, you know, build a life with using their skills and their talents to make the best life that they can. So I just wanted to raise these two issues specifically around Census 2022 and transitional phases from moving from the government system and out. And I'd like to hear what CG has to say about this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheriff. Honorable Songo.
Thank you very much, Chair. I did not raise my hand up, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Martelin.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. My network was not stable, but I have just a couple of questions to the CGE. One of the annual targets of the Department of WYPD concern is the sub-program of social empowerment and transformation. The department has specifically set out to achieve four interventions to support social empowerment and participation of women, youth, and persons with disability annually. What are the details of this intervention, and what specific tools are used to measure its performance and whether it's achieved its goal? Chairperson, according to the feeling of the post, we are now fed up of hearing that because we cannot run the organization without filling the post. I think the chairperson should ask the empowerment of recruiting in this post, because now we are fed up of hearing that there is a filling post. But one would like to know, where are these posts located, in which provinces? And the lastly, what are the specific performance indicators for the implementation of this? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Sengwa. I think I have given all honorable members the opportunity to speak. Ne? Anyone that I've omitted, that I have not noted? Okay, I think honorable members, before I hand over to CGE to respond to your questions, I have the following suggestions. On the week where we're going to do oversight in Gauteng, I want to suggest that I know for the fact that CGE is part of the oversight, the planned oversight that we're going to do. I want to suggest that we have that close meeting physically in Gauteng. Our staff will make the necessary arrangements so that we are being granted permission to have that a meeting physically, and it must be a closed meeting so that we finish all the outstanding matters that we have with ECGE. And I want to hear from honorable members that what is your view regarding that?
I support Honorable Masondo. I support you.
Okay. Any other member? Because all of us will be in Gauteng anyway.
Yes.
Supported.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. CGE, will give you the date. I think will be from the 28th of March up until the 1st or 2nd of March, of April, we'll be doing our oversight visit. So Gauteng is part of that oversight, and CGE is part of the oversight that we're going to do. So prepare yourself. We're going to send you an invitation to a physical meeting whereby all your commissioners will be required to be part of that meeting, and your senior managers will be part of that meeting, Chairperson and Deputy Chair. So make the necessary arrangements. Even us, we're going to do that. Secondly, I want to request that Mr. Rakolote, the appeal of part-time commissioners that was for nine payments be forwarded to the committee, so that we give our legal team that document and they look at it, so that we prepare on time. That when we come to that meeting already, as honourable members, we should have read those documents, include all the documents that you made appeal with, taking into consideration what also was said by the Internal Risk and Audit Committee. So if you can finish us with that document, Mr. Rakolete, so that we are able to prepare enough for that meeting.
I'll do so, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Lastly, honorable members, in trying to listen to the reasons that were given by CGE on the vacant post, the one of the CFO, at least to have recommended that what needs to be done, Mam O'Hara as the head of finance, and Mr. Rakolote and the CEO, with regards to that, whatever we have started with DBSA, I'm sure giving you a time frame, Yogutip, on that meeting, you should come with a report back on what is it that you have done. I think the other thing that, honorable members, that is a concern from our side, is the post, the legal post that, you know, trying to listen to the reasons that are given to the portfolio committee, I don't get the exact. Ubani lo vule I lokujana kan? Hey, Mike. Mkela Ivale, please. I'm trying to reason and to understand the reasons that were given by CGE on why is this post still vacant. I don't get an answer. But if Dr. Tembe is part of the meeting, can you assist us maybe? I think here we need a thorough investigation on why is this post left vacant for such a long time, and what are the reasons of CGE not filling this this position in the legal division. And then let's hear the report that we rejected. We send it back to CGE that was submitted by the chair. It will be part of the agenda for that day, so that we assess, honourable members, performance of the commissioners and attendance of commissioners to parliament, to local committee meetings, and to their work that they are being appointed for. If commissioners, they do go to their deployment, respective deployment. And I hope that the chair is not going to present the report on behalf of those commissioners that are deployed. I mean, Commissioner Krovatla and Commissioner Day, who are deployed in the Eastern Cape, we are expecting a report from those commissioners, not the one that the chair is doing. And the last one, then the other items will send, will forward to them on the each thing that we are going to discuss, the report on the team building. We want to get feedback on progress made on that team building. And then the other one was that one that was asked by Honorable Babu Ngobo. Babu Ngobo, what do you think? That is the referral to that meeting?
A suspension for Commissioner Porter.
Oh, okay. A progress report on the issue of Commissioner Porter. We need to be finished with that report. We'd like to have all those reports, Chair, before that meeting, so that when we go to the meeting, we are ready, as honourable members, who are able to engage in all your documents that you, as commissioners, would have agreed to submit to us. Thank you very much, honourable members. Those were the things that I thought that before I even forget, let me talk to them and so that they know and we know how what is the expectation. Babu Tembe, Herman is Herman here? Nelisa?
I don't see him here, Chair. He's not here.
Can you please make a follow-up on the issue of Commissioner Gertrude Mutupi? Can you make a follow-up on how far are they in the presidency? Talk to Dr. Tembe about it today, Nelis, so that you give us feedback on how far are they, because we want to advertise those two vacancies.
Will do, Chair. Thanks.
Yeah. Over to you, CGE.
Chairperson, thank you very much for, and to honorable members, thank you for the questions, comments, and I think some of the questions just needed clarity. Before I allow the CEO to respond and fellow commissioners, Chair, I just want to respond on two, three key issues that I think the first one was the question asked by Honorable Sheriff on the subsidy with the report and when can it be expected, Chair. In responding to that question, I just want to indicate that the work was started in April and it was part of our APP. And as part of our APP, Chair, we then decided that we would set annual targets. And based on those annual targets, we divided them into quarterly targets. So where we are now, Chair, with that process, we have managed to develop a six-month report, or we call it a biannual report on the work that we have done in terms of doing oversight with SAPS as well as the Thuthuzela care centers. And the report is deemed violence in the eyes of the beholders. So what we have done, Honorable Sheriff, was to first develop the first 6 months draft information that we have managed to put together through our research unit. And this work or this draft report looks at the period April 2021 and September 2021. So that's the report that we have currently developed, and this report is pretty much still in the draft form. Information is still being put in that report, Chair, and I think as soon as we are done with that report, Chair, we are hoping that we will have a reflection on the report and look at issues that are coming from various provinces, as we have done monitoring in various provinces, Chair. We are also hopeful that we will then be able, or we will be allowed, to finalize our work and do the final 12 months or annual report on the work that we have done with SAPS as well as Thuthuzela care centers. And then we will then develop a final 12-month report that we are going to present to the portfolio committee. We will also present it to SAPS, senior management, as well as the provincial commissioners, because there are particular issues that would need attention of the provincial commissioners for SAPS. But also we will present this because there is information around the Thuthuzela care centers that need to be presented to NPA. So that's the information that we have, Chair, and we have this 6 month draft report. The research unit is currently finalizing on putting together that 6 month report, and we will then be able to finalize by end of this quarter a 12 month report that will actually be looking at our 12 month intervention in so far as SAPS and Thuthuzela over centers is concerned. We did not share it yet, Chair, because it hasn't been taken through the normal processes, gone to committees and brought back to plenary for approval. So it's still a draft form, Chair. On the question of the second question that was raised was the progress in terms of the commissioner's handbook, Chair. I just want to quickly provide progress in as so far as the handbook is concerned. Yes, last year, Chair, we did indicate to the portfolio committee that we are finalizing the draft commissioner's handbook. And Chair, one of the plenary resolution was that the handbook, once finalized internally, it should be subjected to an external service provider who is going to do the final review and provide final quality assurance onto the handbook, Chair, so that as a policy guide and as a policy document that we have been closely working with as commissioners, this particular document should be subjected to an external person who will then look at the document, you know, with a view to actually even provide some of the recommendations, and not only be looked at by us, because we are closer to the handbook and we are closer to the process. So it's in that stage, Chair, and we are working closely with the appointed external service provider that is doing quality assurance to the document. And Chair, we are really pushing the service provider to finalize this last leg of the handbook review by end of this quarter, so that it doesn't it's not taken into the next financial year, Chair. So we are hopeful that by the 21st of March We will have a feedback and the final handbook that will be coming from the service provider, and it will be subjected to the good governance committee, and then it will be brought to a plenary for final approval, and then it becomes our internal document. So that's the quick feedback, Chair, and I'm noting the issues that we need to package for the closed plenary, Chair. Those are noted, and I will, from the office of the Chair and working closely with commissioners, we will develop the reports that have been requested, Chairperson, for the closed plenary session. Sorry, for the closed meeting session, Chair, with the portfolio committee towards the end of the month. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson? Chair?
You can continue, Chair.
Oh, yes, Chair. I would like to pause here, and commissioners can come in if there are issues that are directly that they want to provide answers to, Chair. And then after commissioners, it will be CEO. Sorry, Chair. Thanks.
Chair, do you have muted yourself or what?
Chair, I was saying that I will pause here, Chair, and if there are any outstanding issues with commissioners, Chair, I would allow that. But I know that there were questions by Honorable Piri that were looking at HR issues, which I think we have deliberated on, and there were quite a number of concerns from Honorable Chairpersons and Honorable Members in terms of filling vacant positions, Chairperson. I think we have noted all of that and the progress that needs to be made in terms of providing the report on how we move forward with filling particularly the critical vacant positions of the CFO, the legal, as well as the PEI. Those are noted, Chair, but I would allow commissioners, if there is anything that I'm leaving behind, to come in at the point, Chair. If none, CEO can come in and respond on operational matters or questions that have been asked.
No, Melissa have sent me a message that you still have to present a finance report.
That is correct, Chair. We still have the acting or the interim CFO who is supposed to present the financial report, Chair, if time allows.
Yeah, can she present first?
Thank you, Chair. I would, while she is beaming her presentation, Chair, allow me to take this opportunity to formally introduce to the portfolio committee Ms. Nelisile Mabaso, who was appointed as our interim finance CFO. Chairperson, as I think indicated earlier by CEO, that the appointment was made but on the 11th hour, the preferred candidate actually declined, and there was a resolution that was taken, Chair, to actually appoint an interim CFO. So Ms. Nelisile will take us through the financial reports for quarter two and quarter three. And I think before she does that, I would request that Ms. Nelisile show her face as a part of formal introduction to the portfolio committee. So Nelisile, Ms. Mabaso, if you can take off the presentation and just show your face. Thank you, ma'am.
Greetings to the Com Chair, committee chair and the honorable members.
Hi, Nelusile.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
And let me go to screen sharing again. Share screen. May I confirm if you can all see the presentation?
Yeah, we can see the presentation. You've got only 10 minutes.
Okay, Chair. If, with your permission, can I just present quota 3 because it's an accumulative number of quota 2 and 3?
Okay.
Okay, to save time. Okay, we will be going through the table of contents, which is a brief overview of the financial reports of the CGE and the expenditure per program, and the overview of CGE's management of income expenditure, transfers of cash, and we also indicate the cost incurred insofar as dealing with impacts of COVID-19 and the progress updates on any investigations underway and the audit action plan. I'm trying to summarize the picture of the financial report is that we are in a sound financial position. The CGE is a going concern. Solvency and liquidity test is positive, and we've got sufficient cash to meet all the obligations when they fall due, and the asset management order is in order. We do asset verifications twice a year. The final one is currently in progress and is at its final stage. In terms of the budget, as the chair of the audit committee has mentioned, we have underspent as at the end of the third quarter by 13.8 million. 50% of that is attributable to the high vacancy position at the CGE. And most of the expenditure is going to be spent also towards the end of the last quarter, because most of the activities like your report writing is happening now towards the end of the year. And also with the procurement plans, it's at its finalization in terms of implementation and the updates of the IT infrastructure in terms of the antivirus, the applications, and the procurement of laptops that's going to be happening here in the last quarter. The spending is going to increase. But I must confess, by the end of the fourth quarter, I don't believe we would have spent all the money as mentioned before. It's because of the high vacancy rate at the CGE. Top of the understanding, what the contributing factors is the high vacancy rate and the staff training and development, the advertising, which is in line with the high vacancy rate, because we anticipated that the recruitment drive will peak at the beginning or middle of the year, which didn't happen. Therefore, the advertising that goes with advertising the positions was also not spent in terms of the budgeted amount. The office cleaning and maintenance, I must mention, because one of the specific questions raised by the committee is to understand how much we have spent in relation to COVID. Part of the spending included in office cleaning is 591 in the current financial year. But since the beginning of the pandemic, we have spent in terms of COVID 1.5 million. And 99% of this is the deep cleaning that happens on a monthly basis in the office, and the rest, the 1%, would relate to sanitizers. Then the report writing also is a contributing factor, and it's number 4 in terms of underspending. This is due to the fact that that report writing is at the planning stage in the first towards the second and third quarter, and in the fourth quarter, that's where we're going to be spending more, because the report is at its final stage and publishing costs. I'm trying to jump the screen here because I'm trying to save time. Yeah, as I've said on this screen, it's just a summary to say the CGE is a going concern and the liquidity test is positive. We've got sufficient cash.
And in terms of the procurement plans, we are on a time in terms of the procurement. We've got the demand and acquisition management strategy, and we believe that by the 31st of March, this plan will be fully executed. As mentioned, with the COVID spending, we have our contract has expired in January. We are in the process of sourcing another supplier, but we are doing the deep cleaning on a monthly basis. There were no assets disposed in the current financial year. And the contracts, we try to manage them and we check if they're going to be expiring, and then we look to renew them. In terms of investigations, it was not clear. I'm not sure whether the question was relating to irregular expenditure within the CGE. We've got a loss control committee, which is supposed to sit on a quarterly basis. So when I started, I found out that it didn't sit in the past quarter. So I have invited new members to join, and towards the end of this week, we will sit and go through the irregular expenditure, like small items, part of which were attended in the last year, and the submission to National Treasury for requests for condonation was done also in February. I think that's it, members. Just to compare with what the audit committee chair said, we have agreed, or I've mentioned to the plenary, during the last plenary we had with the commissioners, that the issue of the 100 hours, we are going to request condonation from National Treasury. This is all, commissioners. Sorry, members.
Okay. You said what about the Vox Telecom internal investigation?
I would request the CEO, because it's an issue that took place 3 years ago. How far the investigation is on this one?
Can we include it to that meeting?
For the closed session? Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, honorable members. Due to time constraints, we will request that CEO and commissioners, you respond to the questions raised by honorable members in writing, and so that we'll get an opportunity to ask you follow-up questions in that meeting that you are going to have with you. Because the sitting is starting at 2, so I would love to give honorable members an opportunity to have some lunch before they start logging in to our plenary meeting today. So with that, I would like to adjourn our meeting. And Neliswa, we will look at the minutes in the next meeting. Because now we can't look at those minutes. I think, honorable members, that is in order. Can I get a response from honorable members?
Supported, honorable chair.
Supported. Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, commissioners, chairperson, CEO, and your commissioners for attending this meeting. We'll see you in the next meeting that will be with you physically in Gauteng. We'll advise you in due course on what is the date, but look at those dates that I did mention, that we are starting our oversight, I think, from the 28th of March, if I'm not mistaken, up until the 1st or 2nd of April. Yeah, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.